Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Talking about chicken a la king, mango and garbanzo, tabbouleh, little potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil, zucchini ziti, granola, fruit bar. Look at all this beautiful food.
Guys, welcome to Green Eggs and Dan, where I interview amazing people with amazing minds, but all I care about is what is in their fridge. My guest today, a multi-hyphenate. So many hyphens. He was an actor on Netflix's Love, writer for Comedy Bang Bang, host of the Sloppy Boys podcast, and has written for the best show ever made, Bajillion Dollar Properties. Yeah. Please welcome Mike Hanford.
Yeah, baby. How's it going? That's right. The best show ever made. I was in there for a couple weeks.
Hey, man. You know, you're like a SEAL Team 6. You're in and out.
Yeah, precision joke writing. That was such a fun show. I remember the Birthday Boys, the show I was on, we all got to go one day and be on the show. And it was just like all friends. Everyone was cool. And it must have been, I mean, you were there every day. It must have just been like, this is fucking great.
Yeah, I always say it was the best show that no one's ever seen.
Sure. I've worked on a few of those.
Because it was on CISO, and CISO was this, I mean, I think we can call a spade. It was a dumb experiment.
CISO didn't work so well. But you'd think they would dump everything to like Quibi or something, and that would get dumped off to something else.
You know, it's on something now. It's on, is it Pluto?
Oh,
it's one of these things.
There you go.
And I think you can buy it on Amazon. It was a great show. But, you know, this town is cruel. This town can be cruel.
It's fickle. It can turn on a dime.
On a dime.
The temperature may read 97, but it's the coldest town.
Although now it is actually snowing here too, and
I
it's the
saw
coldest.
That. I'm in New York, so I don't. I'm not sure, but I saw Burbank snow.
Burbank was snowing, so now there's no reason to be in LA whatsoever. Okay, speaking of turning on a dime, I'm about to go in hard on this fridge. You guys can see Mike's fridge on my Instagram at StandUpDan. Look, I actually think this is a pretty great fridge.
Thank
you. I'm assuming you're a single guy.
Single guy.
Yeah, this is a good single guy fridge. It's like a single guy who tries to keep it together, tries to keep it healthy, but also is surrounded by temptation.
That is exactly right.
I'm telling you, you can tell more about someone from their fridge. I'm at the point now where I can just like, I can look at it and I can tell if your grandparents are still alive. I have become the fridge whisperer. But let's start on the top row. You got a big old tub of what looks like a mixed greens situation.
It's some greens up there.
Very good single guy fare. We like to take a handful, put it in a bowl, make us feel healthy. Yep.
Usually I'll pop it open and be like, oh, this has gone very old because I haven't eaten any of it. So dump the whole thing.
Yeah, it's
true. I should just give my cash to the grocery store and then not get anything.
I think that's true. I think with the greens, it's almost like I'll get the bag of arugula. It's always arugula because I really feel healthy when I buy a bag of arugula. Mm-hmm. And then it's almost like one of those Tamagotchis. Remember those things that you have to keep alive?
You got to feed.
Yeah, I never open it. And then I'm like, oh, maybe I'll open it and the air will get through and that'll give it some. And then it just dies.
Yeah, maybe the slime will dry up somehow.
Yeah. You got your beautiful blueberries, also full to the brim, unused.
Not eaten, not touched yet. That was a recent run, those two.
Yeah.
And the squash next to it, but yes.
Oh, we'll get to the squash. Then we have a Wisconsin extra sharp processed cheddar cheese that is literally, there's like three strands left. You've been going
in
hard.
That's my go-to. That's my go-to meal. That can be put on anything, the salads, the whatever.
You're not eating
the
salads, though. You're not making...
But if I did, I would put the cheese on it.
And then you've got the Laughing Cow in front of it.
Mm-hmm. Popped open a little bit.
It popped open. I don't know what to think of the Laughing Cow cheese. Is it like...
Ooh.
Where is it on the scale of... Like how... What's the relationship between the Laughing Cow wedges and... Those, I forget what they're called, but they have like the red wax, the circular cheese.
I want to say Bluebell, but that's not right. something like that, though.
Baby Bell.
Those are definitely, like, you can take on the go. This is, if you open one up, it's all, like, creamy, and you've got to spread it on a cracker or something. But the Baby Bells are good to go.
Laughing Cow feels like Americans were like, no one's going to eat brie because they think it's too pretentious. Let's call it Laughing Cow.
We'll have a ton of different flavors. This is, like, garlic and chive or something like that. Just like...
yeah. Sour cream and onion.
Yep. Things people know. Things people want to eat. It comes in a unique little box. That's fun for people. Open it up. It looks like pizza. People know that.
But yeah, next to it, you have this huge, phallic, yellow squash.
Now that one, I'll tell you this. That one I will eat. That's like, because I cook a lot at home. I like to cook stuff. That one I'll chop up and like saute and stuff with onions and, you know, have with a side of, you know, I'll have a chicken, I'll have a starch, and then that on the side.
Squash and zucchini is like, I think, a perfect vegetable because...
unsung.
So easy to prepare. Also, the pastification of the zucchini.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whoever thought of that? It's probably the same person who came up with Laughing Cow. They're like, we gotta move more zooks.
Yeah. Well, how can we make this seem like a better pasta?
Yeah, and it works really well. Big fan of the zooks. I don't know what it's doing in the top row, though. Why don't you put it in your crisper on the bottom? It looks
the crisper. Well, let me explain this. This whole fridge is a mess. I mean, it's a mess just aesthetically, but it's like when I moved into this apartment about a year and a half ago, and they told me like, yeah, we're gonna everything's as is, but like we're gonna switch out the fridge for sure. I was like, great. And it's like started to drip on the bottoms. And I, you know, text the landlord and it's like, hey, can we do something about this fridge? And just like no responses every once in a while. Hey, just checking in on that fridge situation. Nothing. But anyway, the crisper is
yeah, I think that's like crazy. A condenser issue when you got the water. By the way, I have no idea what a condenser is. No idea.
I'll jack the thing up and slide under it like a mechanic and look at it and be like, yeah, this is a condenser. I just don't know how to fix it. Take it off the jack.
Classic condenser. Second row, we got your Frank's Red Hot. Is that your go-to hot sauce?
That is.
Wow. Interesting, because I normally associate it with buffalo wings. That's like the buffalo
wing Western New York, from Western New York, so that's...
Oh, you are?
So that's
okay.
Everything I eat is just covered in that.
Very cool. Actually, Western New York has a very interesting food culture. Where are you from exactly?
I'm Rochester, home of the garbage plate.
You're from Rochester. Okay, got it. So do you guys have beef on weck there?
That, I believe, is more of a Buffalo thing.
It's more of a Buffalo thing. What do you guys have in Rochester? Is any specific?
Rochester has something called a garbage plate. It's just on a plate. Mac salad on a plate next to like home fries. On top of that is like two cheeseburgers or a cheeseburger and a hot dog or two hot dogs. And then on top of all that is like chopped onions and this like kind of meaty sort of hot sauce that goes all over it. And then ketchup and mustard on top. And you just kind of cut it up and eat it. It's slop it up. It's a mess. You eat one and then you're like, okay, I'm done for doing anything for the week.
Yeah, I think the average mortality age in Rochester is like 23. Most people die.
Yeah, you get one of those at the hospital and then they send you off. And then they have the death certificate figured out. And you're like, okay, I'll be back in a little bit to sign this thing.
I love like Rust Belt cuisine. Mm-hmm. That like Buffalo, Pittsburgh.
Yep. What is it? Cincinnati has that Skyline chili that they put on spaghetti. Have you had that?
Oh, yeah, I have. I need to try it again because I tried it in my 20s and I hated it. But yeah, it's kind of like a soupy chili is what they call it. And then they put it on top of pasta.
Yeah.
It literally feels like it's in the lunch pail of like a guy working on the line.
right.
You know, whatever the union line is. I also love beef on Kimmel Weck, which is basically a roast beef sandwich that has caraway seeds on the bun.
Yep.
That's like a very Buffalo thing. And I go to Buffalo once a year. One of my buddies lives in Olean. Have you heard of that town?
I can't place it, but I know I've heard Olean.
It's like an hour and 15 south of Buffalo. And we go there and get these beef on Wecks and Buffalo wings. That's the whole thing. I mean, the Buffalo wing microculture in Buffalo is like, I mean, it's like... They take it as seriously as like wine people take like regions. They're like, this Buffalo wing is very terroir driven.
It is, does feel like the tacos and burritos in LA or like cheesesteaks in Philly. It's like everyone's got such a specific thing.
I love it.
Are you like a foodie? Are you into this stuff? Do you know about it? I don't. If we go out like the Sloppy Boys, if we're touring or something, it's like Tim will round up all the good spots. We're like, cool, this is great. No idea what I'm eating.
When I was touring like stand-up wise, I basically... use that as my way to try fun different foods around the country.
Ah, yes.
It's the best way. I mean, that's where I had my Skyline chili and the beef on weck and all that crap.
There you go.
Not crap. We love our Rust Belt cuisines here. Okay, so now let's get to the elephant in the room, uh-oh, elephant in the fridge, uh-oh, which is you, my friend, like the sauce.
I got 5 bottles of liquor in my freezer. Okay.
Yeah, you do.
Now that would be alarming if I didn't host a cocktail podcast. You gotta believe me, I don't drink that much.
Okay, so the cocktail podcast, we're gonna get to that in a second.
Okay.
But so what do we have here? We've got
gin. We've got Bacardi, Svedka, Beefeater, maybe a Jose Cuervo in there, and some other type of gin. I forget what kind that is.
Is there any alcohol that is not supposed to, like, you shouldn't put like bourbon or scotch in the freezer?
Probably not, just because those are so specific taste. Like a scotch is such a specific taste. But I think probably a low ABV will maybe actually freeze and expand.
I've gotten in trouble like putting wine in just to cool it, and then it's like I'm fucked. Or
I got
champagne
a nice,
or whatever.
I got a bottle of like Dom Perignon once as a gift, and I put it in the freezer to chill it. Forgot about it, and it popped. And I was like, well, that's why I don't have expensive things.
Oh no.
Yep. I mean, I'm not a huge champagne guy, so. No huge loss, but it was more just like, well, that was a big expensive bottle of champagne, huh?
And then you've got the Talenti gelato.
Mm-hmm. That's got a few digs in it.
I feel like I see this in all the supermarkets now. I don't know what the Talenti people did, but like lately it's everywhere.
It's either this, like I always have one in my freezer. It'll be this or a Ben and Jerry's.
There, and you got your Jenny's here. You got your bougie ass, yeah, ice cream on the right side. Was this also given to you after the Emmys?
not after the Emmys, but Jenny's did send us, the Sloppy Boys, some ice cream. And that is an ice cream called the Everything Bagel ice cream.
Oh, get out of here. Weird. Does it have the garlic too?
I took a few bites and I was like, this is insane. I don't know why it's not in the garbage. But it's a very, and I like Jenny's ice cream, but this was a taste I don't think needs to go in. It's a stunt for them. And I think it's like they sent it to us to be like, do you like it? Do you not like it? Some people love it. Some people hate it.
It's very stunty.
Yeah.
Because who's not going to post about that on Instagram?
Right.
And then you got your maraschinos. Is that what these
mm-hmm.
are?
Maraschino cherries. Sure.
Maraschino. I always pronounce that wrong.
People say maraschino too. I'm not sure which is the right one.
You got a fancy ass ginger beer.
That was from one of our shows too. A lot of this stuff is just show related.
Yeah. No, I love it. Look, that's the only reason I have a show, is for all the free shit I get. It's the best part of the show.
Oh, no, I didn't get, that wasn't free. I had to buy that to make one of our cocktails.
Okay, got it. So, great fridge.
Well, thank you.
If I had to rate it, I would rate this fridge a solid 7.8.
Thank you very much. Wow. Can I say, too, when I was taking the picture for this, you've got a sneaky little show here where I would never have thought my fridge is a thing to make me anxious. Like, what people see in my fridge. It is such a crazy look into, I don't know, like you were saying, somebody's, like, psyche or just how they live. I was like, ooh, geez.
It is. It's a weird little like Rorschach test. Mm-hmm. You can tell right away who's single, who's married. Like, it's so easy to tell. Milk seems to be the great, like, if there's like 7 jugs of milk, you're like, oh yeah, you have a child.
Yeah.
I don't know how much milk these fucking kids are drinking.
Yeah. I got into some, a heated conversation with somebody recently. I drink like a glass of milk with dinner. Like if I make dinner at home, I'll...
Oh, you're a dinner milk person.
People were like, what the fuck? How old are you? I was like, well, what? And they were like, that's like what kids do. And I was like, I don't know. It's just a glass of milk. It's not a big deal. They're like, I haven't had a glass of milk in 15 years. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I think it's a Midwestern thing too.
Yeah.
It's like a very Midwestern thing to just have milk with everything, because it's like... They got all them dairy cows. They got to
get rid of them.
Got to get rid of all that milk. Oh, by the way, before we end with on your fridge, second row, mm-hmm. what is this? There's like a gallon of like some sort of like ruby red.
Yeah, it looks like Gatorade, or it looks like Kool-Aid.
Is it Kool-Aid?
That, my friend, is, we did it for the show recently for the cocktail podcast. It's called a Borg. Now, a Borg stands for Blackout Rage Gallon. So let me explain what this is. It's the wildest thing. It's like what a lot of kids are doing at colleges these days. You take a gallon of water that you buy at the store, dump half of it out, add a full bottle of vodka, and then put in like a Crystal Light or one of those Mio like flavor, water flavor things, and then like liquid IV. So the idea is that these kids drink one of these all day long and just like don't get hung over because there's so much water in it.
Uh-huh. Wow.
It was, and we did it for the show, and the show was 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, and I drank like the top of it. I should be dumping that out. That's the Borg.
Oh my God, that name is awful.
It doesn't taste good. It's like all you do, I just kept adding Crystal Light until I couldn't taste anything. And then you drink it and you're like, this is what's the point? And then hungover the next day as well.
Yeah, I feel like everyone keeps looking for that silver bullet of like, what can I do and just get wasted and just like never, you know, never get hungover. It's like cold fusion and that are the two mysteries that we're still trying to solve.
Like if you go on TikTok and look up Borg, there's a ton of people talking about it. And everyone's like, so this is like actually a very responsible way of drinking because you're getting the, it's like, it's called a blackout rage gallon. There's not, nothing really too responsible in that. Like you have to drink, of course. So do it this way.
What is your relationship to alcohol, to cocktails? How often are you imbibing?
We do at least once a week because of the podcast. But I'm more of a beer guy. I like martinis a lot. That's my sort of cocktail. Mm. I probably drink three nights a week. And this is like 10 to 15 drinks. Kidding.
Right. It's funny. I mean, I just got shamed actually recently for the way that I ordered a martini. Because the way that I like to order my martini is bruised.
Yeah, it's shaken hard.
Yeah, you shake the shit out of it so that you get these like ice chips in the martini.
Yeah, I believe that's like a Japanese tradition.
Oh, really?
It's great, yeah.
I got like so shamed. I was at a cocktail bar in Los Angeles at the Montage Hotel. And I think it was like a British, they're doing like a very British cocktail-y bar situation. Mm-hmm. And the martini was actually delicious, and it was actually pre-mixed, which I think a lot of these fancy pants places will do. Like, they mix the gin and the vermouth already, and I think it had some sort of, like, eucalyptus-y something to it, which was really delicious.
Okay.
But I told her, I was like, I'd love it bruised. She's like, we would never, ever do that to our martini. I'm like, why? She's like, well, it's in the word. It bruises it. You don't want to bruise it. You want to preserve it. I'm like, okay, just fucking give me the martini however you want.
Put it in a to-go cup. I'm getting out of here. I had a martini at the LaGuardia Airport like last time I flew. And I stupidly ordered a martini at the bar, but it's kind of the only thing I was feeling. And he brought it out in like a plastic cup. And I was like, yeah, this is going to suck. This is going to be terrible.
I went, I got into a car accident last week. Yeah. And it wasn't like an accident. I was driving back from the Laugh Factory in Long Beach to LA.
Yeah.
And I'm on a highway going about 80 miles an hour. And my back tire fucking explodes.
Whoa, that's the scariest.
Yeah, it was really scary. Slowly, like I managed to, there was no shoulder next, so I had to like slowly maneuver out, and there's traffic whizzing by. I finally get out. I'm in this town called Bell Gardens, and I park my car on the side of the road. I'm freaking out that like I didn't just die. And right in front of me, there is an Applebee's. So get out of my car, walk to the Applebee's. I'm shell-shocked that I didn't just die.
Yeah.
And I walk in, and I'm like, is the bar still open? It was 11:30. They're like, yeah. I go to the bar, and I go right up to the guy. I'm like, hey, man, I need a Negroni real quick. And he goes, wait, what's a Negroni? And I was like, do you have gin? He's like, yes. I was like, do you have Campari? He's like, what is Campari? Wow. I was like, God damn it. I was like, just make me a martini. He's like, what kind of vodka? I was like, gin. He's like, you don't use gin in a martini.
Oh,
I was like,
God.
Give me alcohol.
This is my first day as a bartender ever hearing what a bartender does. What is going on? Not knowing what a martini is like pretty, I mean, and a Negroni too. Like those are so popular right now.
Man, the Negroni has had such a moment. I think of the Negroni how like a lot of people will think of like a band that has like gotten huge. Mm-hmm. Like I used to follow Pearl Jam before anyone. That's how I feel about the Negroni, because I feel like I was getting on a Negroni train in early 2000, and the Negroni was not a thing yet. I think I remember where I had my first one. It was at Babbo, which is Mario Batali's restaurant in the West Village. Mm-hmm. Stiff drink for a... he had some rapey things he wanted to do with those drinks.
Jesus.
But I had it there, and then it just kind of took off. It's funny, though, when it comes to cocktails, I always feel like when I go to a restaurant and I try to get their fancy versions of stuff, I get disappointed because they're way too sweet.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God damn it, I should have just gotten...
I know, you got to stick with places you think know what's going on. Like a steakhouse knows what is going on with a martini. They'll know what a Negroni is, like how it's probably supposed to be made.
I will say my favorite version of a martini that I've ever had is in New York City at Employees Only. Have you ever been?
I have heard of it. It's on a list of places to go, but yeah, I've never been.
So they have a martini there called the Provençal.
Ooh.
It is a lavender-infused martini.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Which, you know, sounds very soapy, but is actually extremely delicious.
It works. We did a drink on the show called a Trinidad Sour. and it's mostly Angostura bitters. And you hear about it, and it's like, ooh, that's a lot of, that's a weird drink. But I'm blanking on what the other stuff is. But a Trinidad sour, try it out. It's got like many different flavors happening. It's one of those things where you drink and you kind of, you're like, oh, now I see what, you know, you watch cooking shows and people are like, oh, I'm getting this note and a back flavor of this. I can't even make up the jargon.
Alcohol is so fun.
It's tough because it messes with people sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it does. Sometimes I feel like, you know, I've gotten so into wine lately, and it's totally just a shill for being an alcoholic. Because you're like, right. No, I'm studying. I'm studying terroirs and I'm studying vineyards and different grapes. It's like, no, you are trying to numb the pain.
You like to be drunk.
Sure. Yes. That to me is one of the side effects. It's more about the study.
Do you when you're doing wine, are you like, How do you even approach that? Like, did you start with like, oh, I like reds, let me get into reds?
I feel like in the beginning I did. It was very much like red or white. Mm-hmm. And then it's so overwhelming because there's so much fucking wine.
With any liquor, there's like, if you want to be a whiskey guy, it's like, well, where do I even start? Every single town has so many small batch places and then the big one, it's nuts.
I tell people, like, if you want to get into it, find a wine that you really love. And then figure out what that grape is and what that region is, and then just nerd out on that one area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, right now, I'm like on a real Oregon kick, kind of getting into that world, and there's all these different wines that I'd never heard of before, like Soder and Evening Lands, that are like fantastic American wines.
Are those wineries or types of wines?
Those are wineries. They mostly make Pinot Noir and Chardonnay in Oregon, and they're fucking great. I don't know. It's funny. I have so much like American pride when it comes to food and alcohol, and I've said this many times on the podcast, but I feel like, you know, when Americans, like as a people, we put our mind to something, we like will just take it to like the next level. Yeah. You know, like we'll get to the moon if we want to get to the moon.
Oh, you want us to get to the fucking moon? We'll do that.
We'll get to the fucking moon. But like, for example, beer is a good place to think of. Like, 20 years ago, there was only like, you know, the Budweiser, the Heineken. There weren't that many microbrews. And now people in America got into beers, and it's like, we have the best beers in the world, basically, are made here.
You know, when you go to like the beer cooler at any store, and it's got like, you know, the obvious, the big brands and stuff. And then all the microbrews, there's so many that just like have the same look. Like, oh, their characters on their beers are like forest animals in suits.
100%. There's always like the Hopinator. Yep. And it's like an atomic bomb made out of hops.
Some
want
to be funny and like cartoony. And some want to be like very wispy and like, you drink this on a beach in the dunes in Narragansett.
Some want to be like super fancy with like the Narragansett ones. There was one that I used to really love that was out of Chicago, I believe. Mm-hmm. Budweiser ended up buying it. Oh, Goose Island.
Yep, Goose Island. I see that all. Goose, I don't think I've ever had one because it just like doesn't hit my brain right. Like, Goose Island sounds strange to me.
I loved it and I was like, oh, I feel so cool. I found this hip little brand. And they're like, you know Budweiser owns it, right? I was like, God damn it!
I just recently, to the other sloppy boys, I was like, you know, I'm drinking like more IPAs when I go out. And they were like, oh, really? The trend that's like came and went in like the early 2000s?
So I can't drink beer that much anymore because I've self-diagnosed myself with an allergy to hops.
Ah.
And the reason I feel I have that is because I used to fucking love IPAs.
Yeah.
And they're super hoppy. And so when I would drink them, I started to get hives and all this like crazy like splotchiness.
Oh yeah.
So now when I drink beer, I can basically only drink either gozes or I can drink, I don't know, light like Mexican beers or Japanese beers.
Gotcha.
Things that are like super low on the hops.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all I can do. Yeah, it's a bummer because I used to nerd out so much on like, oh, this Abbey in Luxembourg.
But you can only drink it there. The flight here, it'll ruin it.
Oh yes, it'll ruin the barley in
there. I get that blotchy thing. But I don't have enough water and I have like a drink with like hard, like usually vodka for some reason, and I can start to feel it, my face starts to heat up, you can kind of like feel your pulse a little bit,
yes,
and then somebody like whoever I was like, are you okay? I was like, yep, I'm fine, it's just I know I'm blotchy, it's weird looking, I understand. Just give me some waters.
By the way, is gin just vodka flavored with herbs?
Ooh, that's a good question. It can't be. It can't be. It just can't be that easy.
I feel like someone told me that and I ran with it. And I've told a lot of people that. And I just want to make sure that I'm not completely talking out of my ass.
Like I said, I have a cocktail podcast, but that does not mean I know anything about liquor or
you
cocktails.
Just want an excuse to drink.
Basically, like every time we make a drink, we send a picture out on our Instagram of like us holding up our own drinks. mine always kind of looks a little different than the other guys. Like, it's like a different color. It's not as much, or it's like way too much. And I get a lot of shit from that, from our fans about that.
I've never been a good mixologist, but I did like go through a phase of mixing vodka with fresh juices, and it was very delicious. Like cold pressed juices. I remember I had a drink once. This was probably one of the most memorable cocktails I've ever had. It was at Blue Hill Farms, which is a very fancy pants restaurant in upstate New York.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was vodka with carrot juice and hay.
Hay?
It was crazy. And it was so good.
Oh, it was good. Okay.
It was awesome. I loved it.
I love when something like that comes up and you're like, what the? Hey, what are you talking about? And you try it. It's good. And you're like, well, I should have just trusted this huge, awesome, like very well-known restaurant. They kind of know what they're doing.
Laughing Cow cheese is pretty good cheese, but what's way more impressive is how it got its name. Its roots are in the trenches of World War I. Laughing Cow was the first French processed cheese. Back then, it was called La Vache qui rit, which is French for Laughing Cow. Two French soldiers came up with the idea. One, Leon Bell, made the cheese. The other, Benjamin Rabier, came up with the logo, and it was initially a way to make fun of the Germans. You see, the German convoys were decorated with Valkyries, female figures of Norse mythology who decided the fate of those who would live or die in battle. Well, Rabier, the French cartoonist, made fun of these by painting a picture of a laughing cow accompanied with the word wackery, a way of making fun of the Germans. Wackery eventually became Vache qui rit, and the Laughing Cow brand was born. So cool. Okay, I'm going to get to the questions that I ask everyone towards the middle of the podcast. We can swap some of these out for cocktail if you'd like. First question is, what is your earliest food memory? Or it could be, what is your earliest drink memory? I feel like everyone remembers the first drink they got sick on.
Yeah, the first drink I had, I think I was a freshman in high school. I had a old, very old and very warm Coors Banquet, a couple of those in like the kind of faded yellow cans. And it was my friend and I in my basement, and just like, it was so bad. Like, we got so sick, but it was also just bad beer.
Yes.
So your system for the first time is like, what is this? And whatever it is, it's gone rotten. So we're going to have to throw up.
Fun Coors Banquet story. You know, they use Coors Banquets in Cobra Kai. It figures pretty prominently. Johnny Lawrence like is a big Coors Banquet drinker. Mm-hmm. And the creators of the show never talked to the Coors people about it. They just put it in the show. And the Coors people were like, cease and desist. You cannot use our product. Until they realized that their sales went fucking through the roof because it was mentioned in Cobra Kai. And then they were like, just kidding, this is cool. We're going to send you pallets and pallets of Coors Banquet. So now there's Coors Banquet all over the set whenever you go there, because they realize that they just fucking fell in shit. They just got so lucky.
that's so funny. Like, forget that cease and desist.
Yeah.
My earliest food memory, I kind of remember my mom would make ravioli, and I, for some reason, hated it and was like, I can't eat this. I'm not eating this. And she would cut it up into like smaller pieces. I was like, no. No, now there's more of them. No.
What kind of kid hates ravioli? Was she making it with mackerel? Was it like mackerel?
It was like stuff with cheese, not meat.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Sure, now I could eat it.
Wow.
Without screaming. Yeah. I'll eat at a restaurant and only partially scream.
Okay, death row meal. So you are on death row. Maybe let's figure out a good reason for you to be on death row. You finish your, what is the blackout drunk drink?
Oh, the Borg.
You finish the Borg. You shouldn't have done it. You wake up with the worst hangover ever. You find the kid on TikTok who said that you're not going to have a hangover. And you just fucking drown him. You waterboard him in Borg.
Wow. And now I'm on death row.
Now you're on death row.
Okay. The death row thing is funny because I would probably do like ice cream. Not like a full meal, I don't think. I would want to do something that's just like super decadent and like way too much and like eat too much ice cream and then just be so done. with everything.
Oh my God, I feel like they'd have pity on you. They'd be like, this is the cutest thing. He just wants a tub of ice cream. Let him go.
He should have done that to the bored guy.
What about drink-wise?
I do a martini. I like those the best.
What kind of spirit do you prefer?
My order is a dirty gin martini, vermouth rinse, which means just put the vermouth in the glass, rinse it, and dump it out.
Oh, interesting.
You know, you go to most places, they'll understand that. Give that order sometimes to places that aren't as like, maybe like what you're saying at the
like Applebee's?
Applebee's. It'd be like, okay, sure. And I'll just get like a fully vermouth.
What is that drink? I think it might be called a 50-50. That's like 50% vermouth and 50% gin.
Yeah. I mean, those aren't bad. It really comes down to like if the vermouth is good and the gin is good. It's a good like sipping drink. If you don't like the vermouth taste that much, you're just not like chugging it.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't be chugging martinis anyway, I don't think.
No, you should not. It's very dangerous if you do. What is the best high-end meal that you've ever had?
I wish I could remember the name. It was the something ranch up in Big Sur. What the fuck's it called?
Oh, I've never been there, but I know what you're talking about.
It's a hotel, but the hotel rooms are like super nice, or they're just like their own little like pods all over the land.
Was it Post Ranch?
Post Ranch.
Post Ranch Inn.
The restaurant goes right up to this cliff. And at night, you can kind of go out on the deck. And at night, it was just like so foggy. And you look out and you're like, wow, I have no idea how high up we are. But you just see this mist going way out. It was very like magical looking. And I think we did like a tasting meal. So whatever was coming out, it was so good. It's that type of fancy meal. You're like, well, I don't even know if this is good or bad, but I know it's amazing.
Right.
It's just like so well done and so coolly prepared and brought out in these like little stone plates. And like if you have a little mousse bouche, it's like served in this very long like stone cocktail thing.
Ooh.
It was very good.
It looks very beautiful.
The thing is, they also gave us some mushrooms that were like gathered on the land. Made me so sick.
Wow. So your best high-end meal you've ever had was also, you got poisoned.
In a way.
That's fucked up, man. You could die from a bad mushroom.
It wasn't a terrible, like, I wasn't like puking, shitting all night, but it was just like something is really bad here and I can barely like stay up.
Hey, Post Ranch Inn, if you're listening, we need a meal credit.
I hate bad-mouthing anything.
I don't think that's bad-mouthing.
No, but do you ever feel like that? You've got a podcast, and it's like, if you say something bad about a TV show, you're like, well, fuck, people worked on that, and it was...
No, I'm not as nice a person as you. I will put people on blast. I hated the show Blossom. Blossom sucked.
No! What if she starts listening?
Funny enough, I did just meet Mayim Bialik. So, Mayim, if you're listening, I'm just kidding.
And I was kidding about the Post Ranch. I love that place, and send us some meal credits. And
keep poisoning your guests, Post Ranch. And I think that's their bumper sticker.
They're doing fine.
What is the best low-end meal you've ever had?
A garbage plate.
From where?
There's Mark's Texas Hots. The first one was Nick Tahoe's.
That's such a good name.
I know. Nick Tahoe's. It was such like a dingy place. So great. But then they started popping up all over the city and suburbs and stuff. The garbage plate was obviously original. Then they'd have the trash plate, the rubbish plate.
The poubelle plate.
The like wastebasket plate. Like anything just kind of around. There was a garbage plate place here in Brooklyn that started. And I think it's closed already. It was a little, I think it was just like riding the line of like kind of fancy version of garbage plate. And I think people were just like, we don't want to eat garbage plates.
it's a tough name to get past. Oh yeah, here it is. The glorious garbage plates of Rochester have landed in Clinton Hill.
I think, but unfortunately, I think it's already gone.
Yeah, sorry.
It's tough to get people on board who aren't from Western New York.
Honey, where should we go? Should we go to sushi or Italian? No, let's have a garbage plate.
Is it good? Yes, yeah, so they say it's good, but it's called the garbage plate.
What is your favorite drunk food?
Taco Bell. I don't get crazy. I go out with people at Taco Bell and they go crazy with orders. I do like a bunch of hard tacos. That's it.
You keep it simple.
Keep it simple. Load it with that hot sauce and feel bad in the morning.
Yeah, I'm nuts. If I'm at a Taco Bell, I've drank way too much. And I always want to try whatever dumb new experiments the Taco Bell people are doing. It'll be like, we made a taco shell out of s'mores. And it's like, all right, I don't know, give me it.
It has to be good if they put it on their menu.
I always forget the name of it, but it's whatever is the hard shell with the soft shell on the outside of it. That's my baby right there. That is textural symphony for the senses.
I don't dislike other stuff from Taco Bell, but I think when I'm there for a drunk food, it's just like, bunch of tacos. I can't think of anything else. And I can't read that board right now, so do the tacos. But I'm not driving. That's the important thing. I'm not driving.
Through. Yes. That is what separates you and I. No, I'm kidding.
You ever been an Uber or Lyft and they go through like with you?
Oh, yeah. I always buy them dinner.
Yeah. Yeah, you got it. And a cup of water for my friend here in the front.
Yes. What is your hangover cure?
You know, we just did an episode about this. It is Alka-Seltzer. I got it once at a friend's wedding. They had in the hotel, they had like a little welcome basket.
Mm.
And one of the items was Alka-Seltzer. I was like, oh, interesting. And I tried it the next morning. I was like, zoop. Right back.
You know, we had a guest, his name was Martin Reese on the podcast, and he is a water sommelier. And he was saying, like, the best hangover cure is this. He's just obsessed with different waters. And he's like, there's this water called Vichy Catalan, which is only, you can only get it in Spain. And it has a super high TDS, which is total dissolved solids, which is like the minerals in it, which, you know, basically Gatorade has, I think, 300 TDS, and this has like 2,000 TDS. So it's like Gatorade on crack, and it's just a natural spring water. And I got some. It's very hard to find, but I got some. And you taste it, and it tastes like water and Alka-Seltzer. Like, it tastes like Alka-Seltzer. And it's just, it comes out of the ground. Or these Spanish people are just taking water and putting Alka-Seltzer in and bottling it up.
So let me ask about the sommelier guy. Where does he work?
So he initially was water sommeliering at a restaurant in L.A. that was, like, at the Disney Hall or something. And then the restaurant... And it's funny because I looked at the list and they had these crazy waters that like there was they had one bottle from Buckingham Palace. But now he just does like water tasting classes.
What in the world?
You should listen to the episode that we did because we did a bunch of water tastings. I mean, I loved to like just poo-poo on it in the beginning. And by the end, I was like, this man, I want to follow him to war.
I love talking to people who like want to talk about their jobs and stuff. Like, it's so interesting to me to see how stuff works.
His main crusade I can totally get behind, which was he's very against what he calls bottled filtered tap water. So like the Aquafinas and the Essentia and all those places, they're just taking tap water, filtering it, putting it in a bottle and charging the same price as like a spring water. So his whole thing is like, you want a spring water, comes from nature, it gets the minerals from nature. So if you're going to spend that amount of money on a bottle, get the right bottle, basically.
I did have an Evian recently, and I was like, wow, this is actually, I can tell the difference between the water I had before, which was just like Arrowhead, and then Evian.
It's a thing. He brought all these waters from different parts of the world. Like this, there was one from a geyser in Peru, and it tasted super weird. And they also have like very different mouthfeels. Like some of them are thick waters and some are thin waters.
Yeah, yeah.
Right away, I called like some of my friends who were like recovering alcoholics. And I'm like, dude, you got to nerd out on water. It's going to like, it gives you that same joy of like, oh, different terroirs from wines. And I told Martin, and he said, yeah, there's a lot of alcoholics who reach out to me. And they're like, thank you. Now I have something to focus my obsession on.
Isn't it crazy when you take a few days off and you're like, hey, I feel like I'm up bright and early in the morning. I feel good. It's like, what is that thing? Oh, right. Yes, that poison.
Stopped poisoning myself.
Yes. Well, I'm going to do that again anyway.
Who's your favorite celebrity food personality?
I don't know these guys as well. I'd say Bourdain just because he's the only person. I read the Kitchen Confidential in the last couple of years. But I don't know the guys as well as I think most of society does.
It could also be like a chef who you love, whose restaurant you go to a lot.
Who runs Arby's? Who puts the menu together at Arby's? He's my favorite celebrity chef.
We will find that out for you.
I want to meet him or her.
I'm assuming the Arby's is like a truck driver of a man. I'm not, I don't think.
I assume it's a computer that's just getting the right levels of chemicals together that won't kill you.
By the way, this podcast is sponsored by Arby's. Arby's, we love you.
I love Arby's, man. Get me an Arby's hat, t-shirt, everything.
What is your desert island food? So you're trapped on a desert island. One food for the rest of your life. You're never going to get tired of it.
A steak, rice, like white rice, and an artichoke.
Oh, the artichoke.
I love steamed artichokes and like the hollandaise sauce to dip. Every once in a while, I'll get one and be like, oh, I love this is a special night for me.
It is fun. I mean, it takes a lot of work, but it's a labor of love.
And that's why I like you. You're peeling all the layers back. At the end, you've got to get like the tiny little leaves and stuff out so you can eat the heart of it.
Yeah, I mean, but then you also have like all those little spiky things that come up at the end.
You gotta like scrape those out. And
it is kind of an adventure getting to an artichoke. It's like a mission.
Yeah, right. You've earned it.
Like you can get impaled by this thing. Like the tops of the leaves are sharp.
You know what's one of my favorite foods too that I think would be a good desert island thing? I don't have them much because they're kind of hard to come by and come by well. But is grilled oysters. Those I had those at a wedding a couple years ago. I was like, God, where have these been in my whole life? These are so good.
Grilled oysters are very fun and super easy to make. My friend had a bag of oysters and we started fucking around with them. And we were just like throwing whatever in the top. We were putting like Sichuan chili crisps on top and throwing it on the grill. Like, mayonnaise, like whatever. And anything came out great. It was awesome.
It's great. So good.
What is there a food that you can't stand eating?
Growing up, it was baked beans. Like if baked beans were around, it was like Mike is gagging. Yeah. Especially the baked beans that are like kind of got in like the thick, whatever it comes in. I don't know. It kind of like they get hard. I just remember them at like picnics and stuff and just looking at it and being like, oh, I cannot even fathom putting that on my plate.
Wow.
Baked beans were the thing for me.
I love a baked bean.
I just kind of like, my brain has always been like, yeah, we're not going to have the baked beans, so don't order them. But It's never, I just haven't had them in like forever.
I associate them with like camp. Like I remember we would like actually cook like the tin can over a fire, like open it, put it over a fire. And it was cool. Like, I don't know, there was something really nostalgic and sweet about it.
But the thing I can't imagine myself eating is when, is raw cauliflower.
Oh, interesting.
That is like, I like a, you know, crudité. I'll eat everything else on it. But the, when it comes to the cauliflower, it's like, it's just dried out. And the mouthfeel, I don't like that brainy mouthfeel.
Yeah.
But I don't mind the broccoli.
Because those are kissing cousins right there.
That's what's so vexing about it.
What is or are your restaurant pet peeves?
What I don't like is when you order a burger at like a fancier restaurant, let's say, and it comes out and it's like stacked like a foot high and it's got like a knife going through, you know, it's like too big to handle. You've got to squish it way down or cut it up or pull things out so it does fit down.
Yeah,
it's just too much to, it's like, oh, we just pile it up, you figure it out.
I'm with you. The inedible burger is an abomination.
It's because you just got, it's a mess too.
There's a restaurant here and I put places on blast, baby.
Oof.
But I actually love this restaurant, but it's this one thing that they do. It's at Trois Mecs. It's a French restaurant here. Oh, no, Petit Trois. That's what it's called. He does something called Le Big Mac. And it's basically fancified Big Mac on a plate.
Yeah.
And then he just douses the whole thing in gravy.
So you can't touch it.
So you can't touch it. If you tried to eat that, you'd be the most disgusting human being.
It's the attitude that's just like, you figure it out.
Fuck you. Just give me the meat. Give me the gravy. Give me the bread on the side. You know what would be a great name for that? A garbage plate. It's an actual garbage plate.
This is the same family. Now, those are kissing cousins.
We've come full circle. Mike, thank you so much for being on the pod.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Of course. Tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on the socials, at Mike Hanford on Instagram and Twitter, and I'm on TikTok, and I forget what that one is. Hanny Boy? I don't know. TikTok is happening, man. It's fast. And then the Sloppy Boys, we do a podcast every week. You can find that at the Sloppy Boys or anywhere you get podcasts.
I love it. All right, man. I will have a wisp of vermouth on my martini tonight.
Ah, yes.
In your honor.